Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 3. And the verses we covered today are from 9 to 41. But the verse we have on the board is text 41. So we'll read the verse first, and then I'll read remaining verses to come to the verse today. Translation: all the eatables were first cooked by the wife of Advaitacharya. Then Srila Advaitacharya personally offered everything to Lord Vishnu. So please repeat the translation. All the eatables were first cooked by the wife of Advaitacharya. Then Srila Advaitacharya personally offered everything to Lord Vishnu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is the ideal householder's life. The husband and wife live together, and the husband works very hard to secure paraphernalia for worshipping Lord Vishnu. The wife at home cooks a variety of foodstuffs for Lord Vishnu, and the husband offers it to the deity. After that, aarti is performed, and the prasad is distributed amongst family members and guests. According to the Vedic principles, there must always be a guest in the householder's house. In my childhood, I have actually seen my father receive not less than 4 guests every day. And in those days, my father's income was not very great. Nonetheless, there was no difficulty in offering prasad to at least 4 guests every day. According to Vedic principles, a householder, before taking lunch, should go outside and shout very loudly to see if there is anyone without food. In this way, he invites people to take prasad. If someone comes, the householder offers him prasad. If there is not much left, he should offer his own portion to the guest. If no one responds to his call, the householder can accept his own lunch. Thus, the householder's life is also a kind of austerity. Because of this, the householder's life is called the Grihastha Ashram. Although a person may live with his wife and children happily in Krishna consciousness, he also observes the regulative principles followed in the in any temple. If there is no Krishna consciousness, the householder's abode is called a Grihamedhi's house. Householders in Krishna consciousness are actually Grihasthas. That is, those living in the ashram with their families and children. Sri Advait Prabhu was an ideal Grihastha, and his house was the ideal Grihastha ashram. Om jnanitimrandhasya jnananjan shalakaya chakshunminitamena tasme shri guruve namaha shri chaitanmanobhishtam sthapitamena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yutpadkamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavansha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagan Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijan Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagan Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitansha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरु भयस्य कृपा सिंधु भेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणे। आजानुलंबित भुजौ कनुका विधातु संकीर्तनेकपितरौ कमलायताक्षौ विश्वंभरौ द्विजवरौ युगधर्मपालौ वंदे जगत्प्रियकरौ करुणावतारौ। टेक्स्ट 41। प्रथमे पाक करियाछेन आचार्याणी विष्णु समर्पण कैल आचार्य आपने। ऑल द ईटेबल्स वर फर्स्ट कुक्ड बाय द वाइफ ऑफ अद्वैताचार्य। देन श्रील अद्वैताचार्य पर्सनली ऑफर्ड एवरीथिंग टू लॉर्ड विष्णु। सो द वर्सेस आई वाज गिवन आर 9 to 41 एंड आई विल गो थ्रू the verses, just the translation of verses from 9 onwards. And then we'll have discussion on today's verse. Text 9. So the context here is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted sannyas. And in his ecstasy, he was wandering for 3 days. And after 3 days, by the arrangement of Lord Nityanand Prabhu, he was brought to the house of Advaita Acharya. So the verse we read today, Mahaprabhu has already arrived at the house of Advaita Acharya and accepting prasadam. But before that, these verses will describe the activities of the Lord. So text 9 onwards. After accepting the sannyas order, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan and engage himself wholly and solely in the service of Mukunda in his solitary place. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was en route to Vrindavan, all the ecstatic symptoms became manifest. And he did not know in which direction he was going, nor did he know whether it was day or night. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went toward Vrindavan, Nityanand Prabhu, Chandrasekhar and Prabhu Mukunda followed him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through the Radhades, whoever saw him in ecstasy exclaimed, "Hari, Hari!" As they chanted this with the Lord, all the unhappiness of material existence diminished. All the cowherd boys who saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passing joined with him and began to shout loudly, "Hari, Hari!" When he heard all the cowherd boys also chanting "Hari, Hari," Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. He approached them, put his hand on their heads and said, "Go on chanting like that." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus blessed them all, saying that they were all fortunate. In this way, he praised them. And he felt very successful because they chanted the holy name of Lord Hari. Calling all the boys in confidence and telling a reasonable story, Nityanand Prabhu instructed them as follows. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks you about the path to Vrindavan, please show him the path on the bank of the Ganges instead. When the cowherd boys were questioned by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the path to Vrindavan, the boys showed him the path on the bank of the Ganges, and the Lord went that way in ecstasy. As the Lord proceeded along the bank of the Ganges, Sri Nityanand Prabhu requested Acharya Ratna, Chandrasekhar Acharya, to go immediately to the house of Advaita Acharya. Sri Nityanand Prabhu told him, "I shall take Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the bank of the Ganges at Shantipur, and Advaita Acharya should carefully stay there on shore with a boat." So this is Nityanand Prabhu's plan to get Mahaprabhu to come to Shantipur. After that, Nityanand Prabhu continued, "I shall go to Advaita Acharya's house, and you should go to Navadvip and return with Mother Shachi and all other devotees." After sending Acharya Ratna to the house of Advaita Acharya, Sri Nityanand Prabhu went before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave notice of his coming. So until so far, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hasn't noticed Nityanand Prabhu, that he was following him. Now he presents himself. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy and he asked where Nityanand Prabhu was going. Nityanand replied that he was going with him toward Vrindavan. When the Lord asked Nityanand Prabhu how far it was to Vrindavan, Nityanand replied, "Just see, here is the Yamuna River." Saying this, Nityanand Prabhu took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu near the Ganges, and the Lord in his ecstasy accepted river Ganges as river Yamuna. The Lord said, "Oh, what good fortune. Now I have seen the river Yamuna." Thus thinking the Ganges to be the Yamuna river, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to offer prayers to it. So next verse is a prayer Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered to Yamuna river. "O river Yamuna, you are the blissful spiritual water that gives love to the son of Nand Maharaj. You are the same as the water of the spiritual world, for you can vanquish all other offenses and the sinful reactions incurred in life. You are the creator of all auspicious things for the world. O daughter of the sun god, kindly purify us by your pious activities." This verse has one line purport. The purport is, this verse is recorded in the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak by Kavi Karanapur. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is simply referring to the verse from Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak. There are many other praises in appreciation of Yamuna river, like Mam Karoti Mam Punatu Charanaravindu Bandhu Nandini. So various prayers, Yamunastikam, particularly praises Yamuna Devi. Next verse. After reciting this mantra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and took his bath in the Ganges. At that time, he had only one piece of underwear, for there was no second garment. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was standing there without his second garment, Sri Advaita Acharya arrived on a boat, bringing with him new underwear and external garments. So up to this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy, and he did not have external understanding that what was happening around him. But when he sees Advaita Acharya, then he thinks this, something is wrong. When Advaita Acharya arrived, he stood before the Lord, offered his obeisances, and after seeing him, the Lord began to wonder about the entire situation. Still in his ecstasy, the Lord began asking Advaita Acharya, Why did you come here? How did you know that I was in Vrindavan? This verse is really important, so please listen. I'm just going to read the verse in translation. Acharya kahe tum yaha sei Vrindavan mor bhagya ganga tire tumare agaman. Advaita Acharya disclosed the whole situation, telling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Now, it is my great fortune that you have come to the bank of the Ganges. So wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipped, that place becomes Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, Nityananda has cheated me. He has brought me to the bank of the Ganges and told me that it was the Yamuna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accused Nityananda of cheating him, Sri Advaita Acharya said, whatever Nityananda Prabhu has told you is not false. You have indeed just now taken your bath in the river Yamuna. So now who is right? Is Nityananda Prabhu right? Or Advaita Acharya, what he is saying? So now Advaita Acharya explains why Mahaprabhu took bath in Yamuna. It wasn't Ganga. But it was Ganga because he was in Shantipur. So how is it that it was Ganga and Yamuna at the same time? He explains in the next verse. Advaita Acharya then explained that at that spot, both the Ganges and Yamuna flow together, Sangam, like in Prayag. On the western side was the Yamuna and on the eastern side was the Ganga. So there is short purport here. Prabhupada explains this situation. The Ganges and Yamuna mix at the confluence at Allahabad, Prayag. Now it's no more Allahabad, it's now called Prayag. The new government has changed the name to its original name, Prayagraj. The Yamuna flows from the western side and the Ganges from the eastern. And they merge. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed on the western side, he actually took his bath in the river Yamuna. So Mahaprabhu took his bath in Yamuna. So what Nityananda Prabhu says, what actually accurate. Now whatever Krishna says must be true. Whatever Mahaprabhu says must be true. Whatever Nityananda Prabhu says, it must be true. There is a similar incident in the life of Advaita Acharya. When he was a child, his mother went to take her bath to a mountain, river coming from a mountain. And she wanted bath in all the holy places. So she requested Advaita Acharya. She knew his divinity. And all the rivers, Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, all the holy tirthas appeared. Same story goes in the appearance of Radha Kund and Sham Kund, where all the holy places, they appear. Just by the Lord calling them, summoning them. So this is what happened here. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a teacher in his Grihastha ashram, he wanted to teach grammar, Sanskrit grammar. This was after his initiation in Gaya. But he wanted to teach grammar. Grammar is a very dry subject. It takes time. If you study Panini grammar, normally it takes about 6 months for a small and some 3 years for the big one. So Mahaprabhu wanted to teach grammar, but he didn't like the subject, dryness of the subject. So he was teaching grammar by chanting Krishna's names. His students got a bit disturbed. That how can you learn grammar by Krishna's names? But later on, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord himself, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and if this is his desire, that grammar should be taught through Krishna's name, then Sri Jiva Goswami made it possible. In fact, he just compiled a grammar called Sri Harinamamati Vyakaran, which is based on Krishna's holy names. And there are 3,000 sutras, all based on Krishna's holy name. So we had good fortune to study for 3 years in Vrindavan. And I'm just going to give you an example how this beautiful grammar Mahaprabhu was teaching his student is still available for devotees to study. And you can learn Sanskrit, but without wasting time in learning those dry sutras from Panini. So, one example. The very first sutra is Narayanad Udbhutoyam Varnakrama Tatradu Chaturadas Sarveshwara Purva Vamna Parasti Vikrama. What did you hear? Krishna's holy name. Narayan, Sarveshwar, Vaman, Trivikram. So, because Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nityanand Prabhu also Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he said that this is Ganga, this is Yamuna. So it was Yamuna. Yeah. Next one. Advaita Acharya then suggested that since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken his bath in the river Yamuna and his underwear was now wet, the Lord should change his underwear for dry garments. So sannyasis in those days only had kopin and kantha. Kopin kantha shrutu. Kopin means underwear and kantha, and sometimes they only had bahirvastra and kantha water pot. That's what they carried. So Mahaprabhu, following the parampara, he only had one set of clothes, one kopin, one bahirvas, and his water pot, danda. Advaita Acharya said, you have been fasting continuously for 3 days in your ecstasy for love for Krishna. I therefore invite you to my home, where you may kindly take your arms, come with me to my residence. Advaita Prabhu continued, at my home, I have just cooked one palm full of rice. So Mahaprabhu may refuse that I don't want to take my meal at Grihastha's house because you will cook so much, you will cook too much. She said, no, I only had one palm full of rice and that's all I could cook. The vegetables are also very simple. There is no luxurious cooking. Simply a little liquid vegetable and spinach. So some soup and some spinach. Why spinach? Because spinach is the favorite vegetable of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaura Priya Shaka Shevane. So shak or spinach is very favorite to Mahaprabhu. So Advaita Acharya knew this and he asked Sachi Mata and Sita Thakurani. Sachi Mata cooked to cook spinach for Mahaprabhu. Now we come to the verse today. So it took us 15 minutes to cover these 30 verses, some 20 verses. Saying this, Advaita Acharya took the Lord into the boat and brought the Lord to his residence. There Advaita Acharya washed the feet of the Lord and was consequently very happy with him. Verse 41. Prathme pak kori acharyani Vishnu samarpan kailo acharya apani. All the eatables were first cooked by the wife of Advaita Acharya. Then Sri Advaita Acharya personally offered everything to Lord Vishnu. So this cooking was done by Advaita Acharya. But during the stay of Mahaprabhu, Sachi Mata was also brought in from Mayapur, Navadvip, to cook for the Lord. So now we come to discuss the verse and the purport today. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains what an ideal grihastha would do. Many things Prabhupada is saying in the purport are inspirations to people who live in grihastha ashram, particularly inviting guests, serving guests, and more importantly, inviting devotees and serving the devotees by feeding them prasadam. The Lord becomes very pleased when the devotees are fed in a grihastha's house, because Krishna eats through the mouth of the brahmanas or Vaishnavas. So by feeding the Vaishnavas, a grihastha feeds the Lord directly, because this is how he eats. Sometimes it is said that the Lord eats through fire, because everything is given to the fire. So Lord accepts his offering through fire. Similarly, the Lord also accepts offering through the mouth of the Vaishnavas. So Advaita Acharya Prabhu set an ideal example how he came, received the Lord from the bank of Ganga, took him to his house, washed his feet, assured him. He didn't want to tell him there is a big feast waiting for you. He said, no, I just had a handful of rice, some soup, and some spinach for you. But when he goes there, he will see something else. Radha Gokulanand ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shishugonithai ki jai. Okay. So Prabhupada has given his own example of a childhood when his father will bring at least four guests, as Prabhupada says, at least four guests to his house before taking his meal. And these four guests normally used to be some Mayavadi sannyasis or any sannyasi or sadhu. Anybody who would come to house, agreed to come to his house. And as we have heard, that he will request them, that please bless my son to become a devotee of Srimati Radharani, a very dear devotee of Srimati Radharani. So by the blessings of those sadhus, you can see Prabhupada did become for his father the dear devotee of Radharani, if you see like that. But he is a pure devotee from day one. Now there are, in this scripture, there are many anecdotes of feeding prasadam. So here, the time we have, I'm going to explain some three anecdotes from different scriptures that establish how feeding the Vaishnavas is important duty of grihasthas and very important to get the mercy of the Lord. So the first one is Maharaj Rantidev. Maharaj Rantidev was a king, but very virtuous king, and he always gave charity. Now he gave so much charity that he gave his entire kingdom in charity, and he hardly had anything left. So Rantidev and his family were almost starving, but somehow they managed to have some meal for the day. As he was about to eat, then a Shudra came with dogs. So he came, he said, Maharaj, Maharaj, please, I have been fasting for so many days. I don't have anything to eat. So please give me something to eat. So Maharaj Rantidev gave him. So he ate. Then he said, but I've got two dogs here. So then he gave his dogs. He was left with nothing. But there was some water left. So as he was about to break his fast with water, then someone else came. So he gave the water. Now this example shows that the virtuous king, he honored his guest at the cost of fasting. He was fasting for many days, but as soon as the guest appeared, he gave his prasadam just to honor his guest. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's also the opening story of a virtuous Vaishnava Brahmana. So all the assembled sages have gathered in Prayag. And in Prayag, they were simply glorifying each other. And the subject of glorification was that who is the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. So they were saying to each other that you must be the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. Krishna siddhayatu vasi, that you are most favorite devotee of Krishna. So this discussion was going on. Everybody was glorifying each other. In the meantime, a Vaishnava came, a Brahmana Vaishnava, with his family. He came, he took his bath in Prayag, in the Sangam. Then, with his own hands, he made a nice altar for his deities. He had shilas, shaligram shilas. After making the altar and worshipping the shilas with all upcharas, then he offered various offerings to his deities. After those offerings, then he came and offered his obeisances to all the Vaishnavas who were there and asked them to accept prasadam, the Lord's prasadam. So feeding all the Vaishnavas, and then all the other people who were assembled there, even the dogs, insects, then with the permission of Vaishnavas, he took prasadam. Now when Narada Muni saw this, he thought that this is great. This Vaishnava actually must be the most fortunate soul and the recipient of Krishna's mercy. So Narada Muni then goes to the Vaishnava and glorifies him. He says that we have just seen you have been feeding Vaishnavas, you have been feeding all of the Varnas and even the dogs, insects, then you took prasadam. And I'm sure that you must be the most recipient of Krishna's mercy. You must be most favorite devotee of Krishna. So by hearing this, the Vaishnava said, no. What I have done, what do I have? Whatever I had, I have offered to the Lord. But what do I have? If you want to really see the recipient of Krishna's mercy, then you should go to South India and see a king. So the story goes on in Brihad Bhagavatamrit, how Narada Muni is looking for the recipient of Krishna's mercy. What we take from this example, if the mercy of Vaishnavas comes when they are satisfied. They are fed, particularly when they are fed and satisfied like that. And Krishna also becomes satisfied. Now the third anecdote is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. In Jaya Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells a story which proves that if somebody does not do this, meaning feeding Vaishnavas, inviting guests, what happens? So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the story of a grihastha named Chandidas and his wife. Chandidas was living in Ambikapur Kalna, nearby, and he was by profession a goldsmith. Now in that city, in that town, all these people who lived mostly were goldsmiths. He was a very good businessman. He made so much money, but he had the fear of Vaishnavas. He would not mix with Vaishnavas because he thought, if I go and chant and dance with them, I'll be obliged to ask them to come home and have prasadam. And he didn't want this. He thought, why should I bother? So that way he used to avoid Vaishnavas. He would not go, do Harinam Sankirtan, because he thought, I'll be obliged to say them, please come to my house and have prasadam. So this carried on. It became a habit. This carried on. Throughout his young age, he made so much money and he was by nature very miserly. So this miserly Chandidas and his wife also became like that because she knew the nature of her husband. She said, if he doesn't invite anyone, why should I bother? Because I'll have to cook. So that way, they passed their young age, saving money, never doing Harinam Sankirtan or inviting guests to their house. So that way, he saved huge amount of money. And he was a gold merchant anyway, goldsmith. So towards the end of his life, when his children was grown up, one day he called his children, he said, look, I'm a miser and I'm honest with it. Throughout my life, I never bothered with any Vaishnavas, any guests, any Brahmanas. And I have saved this money, so much, huge amount of money. Now I can give you, but I'm going to give anybody who serves us, who's in our old age. So he was trying to strike a bargain with his children. His children, because they grew up seeing there was no Vaishnava, no devotee coming home, no Brahmana coming home, so they grew up very arrogant. Arrogant, father was a goldsmith, so much money floating around. And they became very disrespectful to their parents as well. Chandidas and his wife Damayanti noticed this. The children are very arrogant and very disrespectful. So he was trying to bribe them and by offering this money. He had secured throughout his life. So his children also knew this, that father, apart from the business, he has got some savings, a huge amount of savings. So his eldest son one day came, he said, father, I really liked what you said to us, and we want to serve you. In fact, I had a meeting with my brothers and sisters, and we devised a plan for you, so please listen. So Chandidas said, yeah, what is the plan? Then we think you should go on pilgrimage. Because myself and my brother, we can handle the business. So don't worry about business. You should go on pilgrimage to North Deep. We have also arranged on Vaishnavi to go with you because you don't know North Deep. So why don't you just go tomorrow? Chandidas liked the idea. He spoke to his wife. His wife said, yeah, good idea. We are almost retired, getting old, and I have never been to any holy places. So this is really a good idea. Let's go. So Chandidas said, he was so miserly, he said, we'll go to Navadvip by walking. Because he didn't want to spend money. So he took the pilgrimage and convince his wife and this Vaishnavi that we should just go by walking. Why should we spend money? After all, we are going for a pilgrimage. We'll see some more holy places like that. So they were going by walking. As soon as Chandidas left home, Haricharan, his eldest son, and other children, they knew that there was one room in the house, which was always locked. Father would not allow anybody to go into this room. So they knew the money must be there in that room. Now in those days, the banking system was not so developed. Normally, if you had to put some money and bank some money, you would go to a rich man, a zamindar, and give your money. And Jamidars were honest enough to keep that money for you. Sometimes they would even give interest. Just like Rupa Goswami, he had kept this money. Thousands of gold coins. which helped Sanatan Goswami later on to come out of prison. But this Chandidas was so miserly, he did not believe anyone. So he kept his money, he dug a hole and underneath the ground. When I was growing up, I have seen people keeping gold, grains. They would dig holes and they used to keep grains and gold underneath. And sometimes the grains will spoil, but gold will remain. So they used to keep. So Haricharan, Chandidas's eldest son, he broke the house, broke the room, and he started digging. He found huge amount of gold secured underneath. So he took it, distributed with his brothers. And next day, when Chandidas, his wife Damayanti and Vaishnavi, they were about to take prasadam, the news came from the village. They saw somebody from the village. He said, "What? Don't you know what happened?" Chandidas said, "No." He said, "Your children, led by Haricharan, they broke the house and they have taken all your savings, all the gold, gone." So Chandidas fasted that day. He cried and his wife cried. They did not have anything to eat. They just fasted that day. But the Vaishnavi, who was with them, she consoled them. They said, "Look, you can't do anything now. The children are grown up. They don't listen to you. If you go home, who knows? They might even kill you." Chandidas said, No. My children still love me." He said, "No. If you want to try, you can go home. But I'm sure they have been insulting you. They might even kill you. So why don't we just go to Navadvip as we decided? And money is gone. He's gone now. Forget about it." So they took the advice of this Vaishnavi and again started going towards Navadvip. In Ambikapur Kalana, they stayed overnight. And in that town, they took their prasadam. This Vaishnavi took her around to various places, holy places. They had the opportunity to associate with Vaishnavas, participate in Harinam Sankirtan. That purified the hearts of Chandidas and his wife Damayanti. Now slowly, slowly, gradually they started seeing that actually they had committed a great offense. By some good fortune, they had that money, so much gold. But neither they used it for themselves, because they were so miserly. They would not eat or dress themselves, nor did they serve any Vaishnavas or Brahmanas. So they thought, actually, Krishna has taken that money. Now we should start thinking about how to purify ourselves. So they started participating in Harinam Sankirtan. Chandidas thought of a plan. He said, "Why don't I just start a small business in this city and somehow we just live here, forget about home." Damayanti, his wife, agreed. So Chandidas, with the help of the local Vaishnavas, he started a small business. And now he tried to rectify his mistake, which was not inviting Vaishnavas to his house. So they thought, "We will not eat anything unless some Vaishnava comes to our house and accepts prasadam." So from that day onwards, they would invite different Vaishnavas. There was enough money coming from his small business to feed these Vaishnavas. By feeding the Vaishnavas, their heart became more and more purified. And then one day, Chandidas, with his purified consciousness, asked the Vaishnavi who was accompanying him. He said, what is material world? Great philosophical question. So the Vaishnavi said that this is a very philosophical question. What is sansara? What is material world? She suggested that I think we should go to Navadvip and ask some Vaishnavas who live in Navadvip, what is sansara? What is material world? So they went to Navadvip, to the assembly of Vaishnavas, and Damayanti said, I also want to go. But they were told that actually in Navadvip, these sadhu sannyasis, they don't see any Matajis. She said, but I still like to go to Navadvip. So she went, and this question was put to a great devotee there called Anantadasa Babaji, what is sansara? So he said, this is very philosophical question. What is sansara? And he was told what happened to Chandidas and his wife Damayanti. So he explained that actually this is sansara. When you become averse to Krishna or his devotee, then the threefold miseries of life come. That is sansara. And when you turn towards Krishna and his devotees, then there is no sansara. So that was the question answered in Navadvip. To summarize our discussion, we looked at three different anecdotes. One of a king who gave everything voluntarily, even to a Shudra and his dogs. Then we looked at a Brahmana in Prayag who understood the meaning of Vaishnava life, and he understood that whatever is given in our life is a gift of Krishna. It has to be offered to Krishna first, then serve his devotees, then accept as prasadam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yagya-sishtasana santu mucchante sarvikalavushai. Bhunyanti titvagham papa e pachanti atmakaranat. That anyone who cooks and eats without offering to Krishna first is only eating the sin. Bhunjanti titvagham papa. Krishna very clearly says that they are simply accepting papa. They are eating papa, sin. And in the third anecdote, we heard the story of Chandidas and his wife Damayanti, who did not honor the Vaishnavas. He avoided the Vaishnavas, but ended up in a big trouble in his grihastha life. So, his trouble vanquished only when he reversed the situation. Although he had no money, but with his small business, he invited Vaishnavas. And slowly, slowly, his consciousness became purified to the extent that he was able to ask the question, what is sansara? And that question was answered in Navadvip Dham. So we started from Navadvip Dham, from Shantipur. Let's go back to Shantipur now. Advaita Acharya Prabhu is feeding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Vishwambar. That's the greatness of devotee. Vishwambar means one who feeds the world, who maintains the world. Vishwambar. Vishwam means the universe. So Vishwambar is one who maintains the entire universe. That Vishwambar Krishna, that Vishwambar, Supreme Lord Vishwambar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is coming to the house of Advaita Acharya Prabhu to be fed. And Advaita Acharya is saying that I only have found for rice, some soup and spinach. But later on when you read, Advaita Acharya had arranged a big, huge feast because he knew that Mahaprabhu had been fasting for 3 days. So Mahaprabhu had nice prasadam. And Advaita Acharya, his wife, and all the devotees of Navadvipa became very pleased. So I'll stop here. Some few minutes left. If you have any question or comment, so we'll take them.